All right, we're towards the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, Omer Rabbi Abba, about three quarters of the way down, and we have been talking about animals which cause damage, which have a holy element to them, right? We talked about the Mishnah. We had these two ways of reading our Mishnah. Right, when the Mishnah said "nechasim she'ein b'hem me'ila," right, i.e., that there's an exemption for things which seem to be subject to me'ila, whether that was specific or a bit or not exact, i.e., do we mean things which literally carry the penalty of me'ila or the issue of me'ila, or do we mean, as I think it was Rava said towards the end just recently, "my nechasim she'ein b'hem me'ila," just a few lines before, this is where we end up. It means nechasim she'ein b'hem din me'ila, right? It doesn't mean that they literally have me'ila. It means they generally sort of they're not sort of subject to the general penalty, i.e., they are, i.e., anything that's kodshim, etc., and therefore he was more exclusive. But based in the original opinion, who was Rabbi Yossi Haglili? Who was it? Somebody? Was it Rabbi Yossi Haglili?
Yeah.
There you go. So yeah, based on the original opinion, now the Gemara is going to come back and ask the following question. So, Amar Rabbi Abba, Shalomim Shehiziku. So now we're talking about a Shalomim, assuming this is now exempt, right? Assuming Shalomim Shehiziku, Gove Mibesaron. Excuse me, not assuming it's exempt, assuming you're liable, right? So now you have a korban shlomim. When you say a korban shlomim, right, it has clearly not been shechted and then causing damage. It's clearly still alive. So why is it called a korban shlomim if it's still alive? Because you've designated it as such, right? So I say I am now going to take this animal to the temple to offer it as a korban shlomim, and on the way there, right, or before I have a chance to go there, right, the animal then causes damage, so it's designated as a korban shlomim. It therefore has this holy status. But as we said before, the earlier opinion was, right, we had this earlier opinion that shlomim momon ba'alim hu, right, that that it's considered to be the property of the owner, and therefore, you're going to be liable, right? You're going to be liable. So Shlomim Sheziku gove mi basaron ve'ena gove me'emurehen. So Rabbi Abba says, however, you only collect from the value of the meat of the animal and not the value of the emurim, the sort of the fats and the sinews and all the other bits and pieces. Why not? What's the difference? So here we're talking about a very specific case. Let's see if there's a Rashi which explains this. So I don't know if Rashi does explain it, but basically what we're talking about here is mibasaran means from the gover. There's a very short Rashi. Okay, gover. When it says gover, the Rashi is a couple of lines below. We're up to first word on the line, gover. And Rashi basically says, Chatzi nizko mibasara. So we're talking about a case of chatzi nezek. De nezek shoratam mishtalem migufa. Okay? So we're talking about here where you have a shlomim, korban shlomim, you have designated your cow as a korban shlomim. And as you're going along, the cow gores something, right? Causes damage. Not causes any type of damage, specifically gores. And therefore subject to not full payment, but chatzi nezek, as we've said before, right? Out of the ordinary, and therefore therefore it's only liable for half payment. But there's another exemption when it comes to a shoratam, and that is that it's what's called migufa, mishtalem migufa, i.e. the payment is limited to the value of the damaging animal, right? To what's called the mazik, or the shor hamazik in this case, the animal that's caused the damage. So if my ox, I've designated this cow, this ox, as a korban shlomim, and I'm bringing it, and it damages a very expensive cow, right? So, I don't know, it kills a thousand pound cow, for example, right? I assume actually cow's probably worth more, but let's say 1,000 pounds, right? Very expensive, and it kills a 1,000 pound cow. My cow's only worth 200, right? My cow's only worth 200. Now, half damages should mean that I pay 500, right? Should mean that I pay £500. But the halacha is that it's also limited migufo, right? If it's a short time, you only pay up to the value of the actual animal that you had, and therefore you only pay up to 200. But here it's even further limited. What Rabbi Abba's saying is that you gover mi besaron ve'ena gover me emurin. You can only claim from the meat of the animal, right? Once it's offered as a carbon, then the meat of the animal is considered to be momun ba'alim, is considered to be the property of the owner. But all the other parts that are offered on the altar and just, you know, burnt up, right, the other parts, that's not considered to be momun ba'alim, and therefore you cannot claim from them. Okay, everyone with me so far?
What is the rationale of the payment being limited by the value of the damaging?
It's part of, I think it's, I mean, it's, again, we'll get to that later on, it's based on verses from the Torah, but I think it's, again, similar to the Chatzi Nezek, i.e. the point is it's very unusual, and therefore it's going to be more limited. Right, it's going to be more limited to the value itself.
If I'm the owner of the damaged, if I'm the owner of the damaged article,
right,
it's not going to seem fair to me, is it?
But that's always the case. Meaning, let's say lightning strikes your car, it doesn't seem fair to you, or whatever. You know, whenever something gets damaged, you want full payment.
You're talking specifically about a case that is unexpected, totally unexpected.
That's what shertam is. Shertam means you have an animal which is not expected to intentionally cause damage. Like we saw before. So when we were talking about the video that we had of the cow running, I don't remember who saw that. I sent around. So that is expected. Okay, that is expected. But that's what we call regel. So in that case, I think you would be paying full damages. But here we're talking about a shertam means it literally goes for. You know, illogically. Now there are certain animals which might be. Which might be moored from the beginning, right? I don't know, a lion. I'm not an expert, but I would imagine there are certain animals which are expected to go and cause damage to others. But most animals, let's say a dog, right? Leaving aside, okay. Oh, well, maybe a dog actually might be considered moored lo'olam as well. I don't know. Now we've got used to dogs being quite domesticated, but it could be that in halachic terms, a dog would not be considered chatzi nezik. But a regular animal is not expected to cause a sheep, let's say, you know, or a chicken or whatever animal, right? Not expected to intentionally go and cause damage to another animal, right? And therefore there's these exemptions, right? These exemptions. I suppose it is, in theory, it should be to anything. We're talking about goring, means no.
Like,
yeah, if it,
like
but it seems
dog,
to be.
Someone brings a pet dog in and it ruins my Picasso.
But it intentionally does it. But it goes for it because. Yeah. So, like I said, I don't know what the status of a dog is, but I would imagine. But yeah.
But David's question is a good question. I mean, they're both good questions.
Yes.
But the first David said, "Why should if I ram my clapped-out old Mini, old version, into your brand-spanking new Bentley?
Right.
Why should the damages I have to pay you?
Yes.
Be limited to the value of my Mini?
They're not." This is only specifically in the case of a shoratam, which a mini would not fall into that category. If you ram your Mini into my Bentley, that's considered odom hamazik, which 100%.
This is only an innocent animal.
Correct.
Very specific to animals.
Yes, exactly. No, David was saying that the damage caused to, and you're talking about the thing causing the damage.
What I'm saying is that we're limiting the damage that the person suffers to his property. And David's point was that is limited to the value of the damage of the.
That's only in the case of a shuratam.
Okay, that's a specific case. Then.
Correct, but I think Dave Taylor's question was: is it limited to damage caused to other animals, not just caused by an animal, but caused to? I assume it's caused to anything. Yeah, but it is in that manner. But it is done in that. No, not Giselle, including humans. It's a good question.
The cow runs into the Bentley. Why
right.
Isn't that apply?
But again, it doesn't run into. If it runs into accidentally, then yeah, then you should have been keeping it. But it seems like you're in a sense you've got it there, and for no reason at all, it runs off and headlong into it, which is just very unusual.
Say, is it too much to say almost? You're saying that it's almost what we would call an act of God. But
I think it is slightly too much,
the
but yeah.
By which that act of God
a little bit. It's
you've happens with lightning?
Well, in the case of lightning, obviously, there wouldn't be... That would be less than onus. Yeah, lightning's a good example. Lightning is a case of called onus, right? Let's say you give me something to look after, right? I'm a shomer. So lightning would fall under the category of onus. This is not quite onus. This is in between. That's why it's chatzi nezek. It's really why it's half and half. It's not quite... It's clearly not the same as lightning striking, right? Which, by the way, you'll sometimes be liable for and sometimes not, as a shomer, depending on what type of guardian you are, right? Some guardians will be liable, have a higher level of responsibility, and they'll even be liable for ones, i.e. it's almost like a guarantee. You know, you're covering the cost regardless of what happens. And in other cases, let's say I'm doing you a favor, I'm a shomer chinam, then I'm not going to be liable for an ones, right? If it gets struck by lightning, you know, I didn't do anything wrong. So that's...
Rabbi, even if we get back to the case of the short time, right?
Yeah.
The question still stands, why do you measure the damages by reference to the damaging animal rather than the damaged article?
Right, so it's not. I don't think it's the measure of the damage. I think it's the limitation of it. Yeah. So the limitation of the damage is, I think we're going to get to it a little bit later on. So I don't remember the Gemara as well, but I would imagine that it's again based on the fact that it's an extra limitation because it's. I don't want to put words into. It sounds to me like it's. Partially onus in a sense. You know, there's a little bit of a sense that this is more unexpected. Yeah, exactly. More unexpected. And I think, therefore, it has a limitation to it. Right? It has a limitation to it. All right? But again, Chatzi Nezek Megufo is going to be something which we... I can't remember where it is, but it must come up relatively soon.
It also comes down to the foreseeability test. Because if the owner didn't foresee, you know, it's a nice, plastic cow...
Right. Right.
Would he have been expected to take extra measures of safeguard?
That's the point.
Yeah.
That's what this is. Yes. Okay. It's very out of character. Very out of character, and therefore it's a little bit in between. Like we said, it's not quite the same as David, to use David's term, an act of God, right? It's not quite the same. You're not liable, right? You're it's like this halfway house. Right. Right.
More than you were there.
Yes. Yes, exactly. There is an interesting debate actually as to whether we're talking whether the expectation, which assuming this is halfway, whether it's never exactly halfway, whether it falls sort of slightly closer to the totally unexpected side, or whether it falls closer to the more expected side. I.e., the Gemara has a debate what we call Chatzi Nezek Megufo. Chatzi Nezek Momono or Chatzi Nezek. I think it's Chatzi Nezek Momon or Chatzi Nezek Knas. I can't remember exactly how the Gemara phrases it. But the point is this almost like you should have really, you should have been liable full damages. It's like, you're getting very lucky here, basically. You're getting very lucky here that you're only paying half damages. Or we're saying, no, this is pretty unexpected. Really, you shouldn't be paying anything. You've got a bit of it's a bit because there's sort of, the Torah's almost given you like an extra payment just because it's not quite onus, but really, it's pretty close to onus, and therefore it goes up one. And there are actually halachic differences between the two. It's almost like a penalty that's added on, according to some opinions. Anyway, sorry, Phil, you're about to ask a question?
That's okay.
All right. Okay, so Chatzi Nezek and Megufo is again something I think we're going to come back to, but in this particular scenario, the reason why we're using it is because here the point is that there's a limitation to the value of the Shor HaMazik, and over here the Gemara is saying that not only is that, what are we considering the value of this cow? So the value of this cow, because it's a Korban Shlomim, says the Gemara, or says Rabbi Abba, is only the value of the meat, right? Because that's the property of the owner. The emurim is considered to be momon govoha, is considered to be the property of heaven, because that's going to be entirely consumed on the altar, on the mizbeach, and therefore that's going to be part of the limitation. So the Gemara says, the Gemara says pshita, right? It says that should be obvious. I.e., why should you be claiming? Right? Clearly, we're only talking about a case of in the same way we've been saying all the way through. Right? The whole thing is based on ownership of the owner, right? On the property, whether it's the property of the owner, and therefore it's very clear that the emurim are not part of that, and therefore this limitation makes sense. So it's a pshita. So the Gemara suggests emurim legavoha. Salki, sorry, Pshita Emurin Legevara Salki, right? That's part of the response. It should be obvious because the Emurim are going, as we said, to heaven, basically being offered up on the altar and therefore not going to be included. So Gemara responds, Lo Tzricha, Legove mi Bisaron Kneged Emurim. So this is where I get slightly confused, but I think what the Gemara is saying is that basically we're talking about maybe you should take extra, that as we said before, the Chatzi Nezek, right, the half value of this very expensive cow, £1,000 cow, is 500 pounds. And here we're sort of overly limiting it. So we're saying maybe you should take extra in order to cover, you know, in order to cover the base, right? Basically, yes, technically it is part of the value of the yes, technically the Emurim is separate, right? Won't be offered up. But the bottom line is that that you should be able to sort of add on a little bit. So where I'm getting slightly confused by this part of the Gemara is I'm not sure. It sounds like you're taking the actual. Let's look inside this Rashi, Lo Tzricha, and what it sounds to me like you're actually taking the meat of the Shor HaMazik as payment, right? Rather than taking money, you're taking the meat, and in a sense, they sort of want you to take extra, extra meat, extra flesh as part of it. But well, I'll explain my confusion. Hodiktani Eino Gove Me Emurin, right? When the Gemara says that you cannot claim from the Emurin, from the other parts of the animal, Hokamash Malon, what it's telling you is Dein Gove Mibusoro Keneged Emurin, right? So the Gemara is basically at this stage saying, thinking that you actually want to take those fats and sinews themselves. That's what you want to take, and you want to sell them. So the Gemara is saying that's obvious you can't do that because that's got to go on the altar. In fact, even if you're taking the flesh of the animal, you have to treat it as kodshim, right? It is a korban, it's shlomim, right? You can eat it, but you are eating it as you know, as a korban. It will have the same limitations, whatever they are. It has to be eaten within a certain time frame, yom v'layla echad, you know, one day and one night, I think, or whatever the exact limitations are for a shlomim. I can't remember exactly. But the point is that the Gemara here is suggesting that maybe we're not saying that you're taking the actual fats and sinews, but right, rather you are taking basar keneged emurim, that you're taking extra flesh in lieu of the value of those emurim. Kegon shor shovim masayim. One animal is worth 200. Shenogach shor shovim masayim. The other animal is worth 200. Einagova elachetzi dmei. Or here we have. Swaps it around. My little footnote swaps it around. It says Ela demei chetzi besoro. You only take the money of half the flesh. Afal gav de lo have a money shalim. Even though it's not 100, money is 100, right? In this case, 100 zuz. That's the currency that was used in these times. And therefore, that's chatzi nezek. So even though you've not quite made it to 100, right, you're basically taking extra in order to fill up that gap. Udmei chetzi emurim lo yishtalem midmei chetzi ha'acher shel basa. Right, and the value of half of the other pieces lo yishtalem, you don't pay midmei chetzi. Or over here it says mechetzi ha'acher shel baser, from the other half of the flesh. So what's puzzling me is that it sounds like the half is not the chatzi nezek. When you're talking about chatzi nezek, it's talking about based on the value of the damaging animal, i.e. the shor hamazik. But that's not the case, right? When we talk about half damages, we're talking about the shor hanizak. You have the two animals, right? When we talk about chatzi nezek, half the value, that's referring to the damaged animal, right? The damaged animal was worth a certain amount, and you're paying half that amount. When we talk about migufa, the limitation being of the value of the shor hamazik, that's based on the other value. So it sounds like we're sort of chopping and changing them or mixing them up. That's where I get slightly confused. So I feel I'm missing an element over here.
It could be one of two things, it seems to me.
Yes.
Either it means that it's given that the parts that are going to be that belong to Hashem,
right,
don't belong to the one who's designated the shlamim.
Right.
You can only take the half value from half value of the whole from his bits of the meat.
Half value of the whole of the damaged.
No, the half value of the whole of the thing. It could be one, that's one interpretation. Or it could be that you prorate it, so you take the whole as being only the value of the guards that don't belong to Hashem. So that, as it were, you end up paying a quarter.
One more time. So how does what you prorate?
So you it could be on the one hand, it could be that the chetzi is half the value of the whole, but you can only take that chetzi from the non sacred parts.
Yes.
Or it could be that actually in assessing the value of the whole, you disregard.
Right. And then and
the sacred parts,
and then you and then you halve that.
Yes.
Yeah, I understand that, but what you're doing is valuing the we're talking about the damaging animal.
Well, that's why exactly so. That's why it's so curious that you limit it. You said that that's because it's a limitation.
No. But the megufo chatzi nezek and megufo are two separate limitations almost. Chatzi nezek means you're paying half damages of the actual damage caused,
yes.
Right? So you're paying, you know, you should owe £1,000. There was £1,000 worth of damage here, and we halve that, and therefore you're liable £500. And migufa means that we're limiting it to the value of the other animal. But like you say, it sounds here to me like you're, like, yeah, like we are halving the value of the... I just don't think that's the case. There are other Gemaras that don't seem to say that. I feel like there's a missing link here.
Steinsalt says payment for damage caused by the innocuous animal is half the amount of the damages, and can be no more than the value of the animal itself.
Right.
Rav Afra is teaching that when assessing the damage to determine the amount to be paid, one deems the owner responsible only according to his share of the animal, i.e., the meat portion
yes.
in relation to the animal as a whole.
Right.
So he's further prorating it.
No, but that's I think that makes sense. So that is again, that's the damages themselves are assessed based on the actual damage, right? I.e. the value of the shohan nizak, right? The animal that's been damaged, and that's halved. And then,
but when it says it can be no more than the value of the animal itself, which animal?
The damaging animal. But that's the whole value of the damaging animal, yeah, not half the value of the damaging animal.
We carry on reading.
Yes, but he's saying that Steinsaltz is explaining that the value of the damaging animal is only the value of its meat.
That's what the Gemara said. Yeah, that I understand.
That's what you're saying.
Yes.
And you pay half the value of the meat.
No, not half the value of the meat.
The value of the meat limits the value of the damaging.
The Gemara. My problem is the two stages. The Gemara asks a question. and says legove mi besaron keneged emurin. It's suggesting that maybe you should that over here what one might have thought is that you should take extra meat in lieu of the emurim. But where is this extra meat coming from? We're talking about taking migufa from the korban shlomim, right? So mi besaro, from its meat, i.e. the meat of the, you know, of this shlomim, which has now been offered up, keneged the imurim, in order to, but the meat has already been taken. That it's already been calculated for, because that was the limitation. The limitation is that you take all the meat, right? And if it's not quite enough, the Gemara is saying you can't go into the imurim, right? You cannot go into the value of the other parts. I just feel a little puzzled. I'm pretty sure that's what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is saying, bottom line is that the opinion of Rabbi Abba is as Steinsaltz easily described, very simply put it, that basically the limitation of migufo, right, of the value of taking up to the value of the shor hamazik, of the animal that has caused damage, is limited further to only the part that is actually considered to be the property of the owner, i.e. the flesh, right? The flesh that is going to be eaten by the owners, or in this case now by the damaged party, whereas the other part that's going to be burnt up on the altar is not considered to be included in the payment back. Anyway, listen, I think that's what it's saying. I'm just not quite sure how to fit it into the words, but I'll keep working on that. I spent a little bit of time trying to figure it out, and Maybe I'll call someone later to help me out, and we'll see if we can get it further. But either way, what the point, what the Gemara is taking from here is the Gemara is trying to figure out, does Rabbi Abba fit in to other opinions, right? Where's Rabbi Abba getting this from? So Rabbi Abba Aliba Deman, i.e., is there an earlier Tanaitic opinion, right? I think we're going to have now Machlokes Tanoim, unless I'm mistaken, as to whether maybe it's not Tanaitic actually. Okay, either way, so whose opinion is he following? Aliba Deman, first words on the line. About 10 words from the end. Aliba de Rabbonon, right? Maybe he's talking about according to the opinion of the Rabbonon. Okay, so actually we need to do a little bit of background here. Let's look at the next Rashi. We don't usually do this many Rashis, but it's good. So the next Rashi basically fills in the background over here. We've now taken for granted that we're all familiar with the Machlokas in the Gemara later on Nun Gimel, which I wasn't, so that's why Rashi helps out. Dipligiale de Rabbi Noson, okay? Rabbanon and Rabbi Noson have the following machlokas. Actually, I think we briefly referenced it last time, but it's good to do it again. Beperek Shosha Nogach Esapara, in a later chapter, I think that's the fourth chapter, might be the fifth chapter, can't remember. Gabe Shosha Dochaf Eschaver Labur. So you have one animal comes along and pushes another animal into a pit. Okay, so you have A, B, and C, right? Mr. A's ox pushes Mr. B's ox into Mr. C's pit, right? So now the animal fell into the pit and died, right? B's animal fell into the pit and died, but it fell in there because it was pushed by Mr. A's animal. So who has to pay, right? Is it Mr. A or Mr. C, right? So Mr. A. So the halacha is that Mr. A has to pay, right? His animal gored, and therefore he has to pay. But here we have the following question. So now, Gabe Shosha Dochaf Chaver Labur, Va'amrinon Bitam, let's say Mr. A's animal was actually a Shuratam, and therefore he's only going to be paying half damages, right? Mr. B's animal was worth £200, he's only going to be getting £100 back from Mr. A. The question is, does Mr. C have to fill in the rest, right? It was your pit, do you have to pay the rest? Baal Hashar Meshalim Revio, Uba'al Habur, Potur mipnei shezeh hipilo. Right, that's the opinion of the Rabbanon, is that you have to pay. The opinion of the Rabbanon is that they don't pay. Right, that they the owner of the pit does not pay at all. Uva muad
b'al hasher meshalim. What does that
mean? He pushed it. Because the first animal pushed it, and therefore, even though it fell into a pit and died in the pit, right? The only reason that happened is because it was pushed, and therefore you bear no liability at all. The owner of the pit bears no liability at all. Over muad and with a shor muad, then baal hashor mishalim chetzi, pay half. Uba al habor potter and the owner of the pit pays nothing, right? Alma ki lekot leishtalume bibaal. Hashur lo mishdalem mibaal habor. This is the opinion of the Rabbanon. Va'af al pi shabon nimtza haniza. Shabon nimtza hanezek. Even though the actual damage occurred in the pit, upshita de inagovim ebisaran kenegedei murin. And therefore, the opinion of Rabbanon fits in to the opinion of Rabbi Abba. But the Gemara's problem is it just seems too obvious, right? That's in a sense, according to Rabbanon, there's nothing to clarify over here. Oh, I don't have the later Gemara. Okay, so I'm just trying to figure out why the Gemara's talking about a quarter and a half. Here, I think it's because it's talking about in that Gemara, it's talking about basically a case of doubt. Shor Shanoga Chesapora is, unless I'm mistaken, is Shor Shanoga Chesapora v'nimtza ubra b'tzido, and you find the fetus and a fetus next to the damaged ox. So you know that the ox was gored, but you're not sure if the fetus was gored or not, right? You're not sure if it died on its own. Is it a stillbirth or something? It was already dead beforehand, and therefore, or it was as a result of the of this goring, and therefore basically that ends up being half. So once you're talking about half of half, that's why we end up in quarter territory and half territory. I think that's why the Gemara is doing that. So we're just, for our purposes, we're going to assume we're talking about a regular case. regular case. Bottom line is that Aliba de Man, who is this according to? E Aliba de Rabbanon, if Rabbi Abba is following the opinion of the Rabbanon, if that's what we're suggesting over here, if Rabbi Abba feels that he's clarifying the opinion of the Rabbanon, Jita, right? That should be obvious, right? If you're not going to be liable over there, in the case of one animal pushing another into a pit, then obviously you're going to be not expected to pay back the emurim based on the emurim in this case. So ha omri ki leka le ishtalumu mehai lo mishdalma mehai. The fact that you haven't, the Rabbanon anyway are of the opinion that you don't sort of fill in chatzinezek, you don't fill in the rest after you've hit the limitation, you don't fill in the rest from elsewhere. Whereas Rabbi Nosson is of that opinion. Ve'i alibi de Rabbi Nosson, according to the opinion of Rabbi Nosson, ha omar, he is of the opinion, ki leka le'ishtalum mehai, mishtalem mehai, that in a sense, when there is a limitation and you hit a barrier, that you can fill in those damages from elsewhere. I.e., the person is only, person A was only liable chatzi nezek, half damages, and therefore we go to Mr. C to fill in the rest, because this person is out of pocket, because they've lost an entire animal. So that's the opinion of Rabbi Nosson, but not everybody. But in that case, he should disagree. He should disagree with Rabbi Abba, right? So neither one really fits in very well to this opinion of Rabbi Abba. So the Gemara responds and says, "V'yali b'Rabbi Nosson ki omar." Omar ki leka l'ashtalama mihai, ashtalama mihai, I ba'i zema. So we're now about 7 lines from the end. I ba'i zema, perhaps we can suggest as follows. I ba'i zema, Rabbi Nosson. I ba'i zema, Rabbonon. I ba'i zema, Rabbonon. Right, maybe we can suggest that this is the opinion of Rabbonon. Actually, it does fit well with the Rabbonon, and it's not too obvious why. Because honey mele betray gufe, right? The Rabbanon were talking about where you have two totally separate things, right? Two totally separate things. You have one person's ox and you have another person's pit, and they're two separate entities, right? Over here, avo bechad gufa motzi omarle mikol. You could have suggested that according to the Rabbanon, where in this case, that actually, since the whole thing happened together, it's not two separate entities, right? The flesh of the animal and the other parts of the animal were all involved in the damage that was done, right? It didn't damage with only part of its, but it didn't damage only with its flesh and not with the other parts that were offered, that are going to be offered up on the altar. And therefore, since it's one unit, perhaps you could have suggested that the filling in, right, that the sort of extra payments to avoid the limitations might have Motsuyama, right? That might have actually worked. But therefore, Rabbi Abba says, no, that's not the case. You only pay from the Bosar and not from the Emur. Iba Isema Rabbi Nosson, perhaps we could have suggested that that even this limitation would have fit in with the opinion of Rabbi Nosson, even though usually he says you fill in the extra. Hasam Huda Omar Le Ba'al Hashar Al Habur. In that case, the reason why you fill in the extra is because the owner of the ox, the damaged ox, can say to the owner of the pit, Ana Torai Babircha Ashkachte Mai Delesli Leishtalume. Right? Basically, you my animal is now sitting factually at the bottom of your pit, right? And therefore you've sort of got a bit of a quandary, right? You, in a sense, it's almost like what do we call it? It's almost the Gemara has the concept of Bob Matzia, right? Where basically evidence is in your hand. And the burden of proof is on you, in a sense, to prove otherwise, right? The fact that it's sitting at the bottom of your pit, right, is already a black mark against you, and therefore I can actually come and claim from you. And in that case, therefore, that's where Rabbi Nosson would say that. But potentially, he would actually agree to Rabbi Abba over here. Right? What I can't get from that guy over there, I'm going to come and get from you. That's what Rabbi Nosson's saying in that case. Aval hocha. But in our case, where we're talking about the Bosar and the Emurim, mi motzi omar. Can you really suggest that the Bosar Azik Emurim lo Azik, right? This is the other way around, right? That the Bosar Azik Emurim lo Azik, that the flesh was the one that did the damage. Oh, that's interesting. Sorry, Rabbi Nosson is saying that he would disagree. I thought we're trying to fit Rabbi Nosson into Rabbi Abba. Here, let's do this again. So Rabbi Nosson is basically saying it's only in that case, right? But hocha, when we're talking about the behemah shlomim, can the nizak, the person who has had damage caused to him, really say shehabosar azik, only the hiziku ve'ilu chelak ka'imurim lo azik, that the emurim did not cause any damage. Very poshut shehabosar ve'emurim hiziku ke'echod. Clearly, they damaged together. Ve'ein svar lomar sheyig v'mechilek abosar yosem chetzi nezek af she'ini yochel ligvos meho emurim. It still sounds to me like he's disagreeing, but I'm not sure exactly why we're fitting that back in. But Yeah, it sounds to me like the Gemara is trying to say that you can fit, that Rabbi Abba can either be following the opinion of the Rabbanon, or can be following the opinion of Rabbi Nosson. But then when it suggests that he's following the opinion of Rabbi Nosson, to me it sounds like he should disagree. Right, and Rabbi Abba is saying that it's limited. Rabbi Abba is saying that that you limit the value to the value of the flesh of the animal. There is a distinction. Yeah, well, there's no chatzi nezek when it falls into a pit. There's lots of slight differences, but the point over here is that Rabbi Nosson's basically saying that usually you would fill it in. I was nimta han nezek yosem in ha'imurim. Rabbi Abba's not saying you can collect fully. He's saying it's limited to the govim ibisaram, but in a govim imurim, right? You can't. You can only collect from the flesh of the animal, but not from the other parts of the animal. That's what Rabbi Abba is saying. And the Gemara, also, so far as I'm understanding it, the Gemara sounds like Ibo Isemi Rab Nosson. The Gemara is basically saying that you should be able to, collect. It's funny, it all seemed to fit earlier, but now it just doesn't seem to fit. So Ibo Isemi Rab Nosson, it should. You should be able to follow the opinion of Rabbi Nosson, yes?
Rabbi is saying that I think that if there are two parts involved, either an ox and a pig, it's different from a pit alone, in which case all the damages can be recovered from the owner of the pit, as I read it.
all the damages. No, for sure, the owner of the ox who pushed is definitely the one who pays initially, right? The point is, if it's a shartam, then he's only going to pay chatzi nezek. That's the, so the question is, who's going to pay the rest, or is someone going to pay the rest?
Can I read you the expanded translation by?
Please. Yes. Yes.
And if you wish to say Rabbi Abba's ruling is in accordance with Rabbi Nassar,
yes,
and there's
perfect.
A code in there.
Okay.
It is only there that the owner of the damaged ox can say to the owner of the pit, since I found my ox in your pit, ultimately you bear responsibility for any damage, and therefore whatever I can't recover from the other one, i.e. the owner of the ox,
yes,
will recover from you.
Exactly.
But then there's an Abal goes on. To challenge that.
No, Aval, it's distinguishing between that case and our case.
Okay.
Right? Between that case, between the ox pushing one another ox into a pit, and our case of a shor shlomim, right?
One
an ox that is that has been. Sorry. That's the distinction. But the case is just two different cases, right? One case is talking about an animal that gores an animal, pushes it into a pit, and the other one is talking about an animal of shlomim that's been designated as a korban, which gores another animal. Okay, I mean, I think that what the Gemara is saying in the end is that Rabbi Abbas does seem to fit with the opinion of Rabbi Nosson, but what it sounds like to me is that we sort of swap round the opinion of Rabbi Abba by doing that, which is a bit unusual. But I guess that's how we'll have to leave it. The bottom line is that there seems to be a matchup between these two types of cases, right? When we're talking about having a limitation that the owner might be liable chatzi nezek, but actually you can fill in potentially from somewhere else, right? If that works, right? If there is another, it's a very interesting opinion of Rabbi Nosson, right? It's a very unusual one because it sounds like, let's say. We come back to the case of Mr. C, right? Sounds like your liability is based on whether the other guy has already covered it or not. It's almost like, you know, you might get lucky or you might not get lucky. If his is a shor muad, then there's not going to be anything for you to pay. But if his is a shor tam, then you are going to have to pay, right? So it sounds like it's a very unusual level of responsibility. It's almost like you're not really that responsible, but if there's still bills to pay, then we're going to come to you to do it. Right, a little bit. It's a bit of an unusual. Anyway, okay. The Gemara. Let's see if we can finish up the next piece down to the two dots, and then maybe we'll stop there. We're getting close to getting close. So it's probably a good place to stop, or maybe we'll do two more. Okay, we'll get down to the next two dots. Toda, right, Omar Rava says the following, a linked case, Toda Shehizika, again, same type of thing, you have now designated your animal as a korban Toda, not as a korban Shlomim, but as a Thanksgiving offering, and a Thanksgiving offering comes not just with the animal is this sort of central part of the offering, but it also comes with a lot of bread, right, and all sorts of other stuff. So what Rava says is as follows, Toda Shehizika, if your animal that's a Toda causes damage, gover mibasara, you can claim from the entirety of the animal, right, because all of it belongs to the Baalim. This is not like the case we had before of the Imurim. All of it belongs to the owners, but ve'ena gover milachma, right, you can't claim from the bread, right? You have loaves of bread that are also part of the korban todah. So the Gemara says over here, so this is already a further extension, right? The Gemara says lechem pshita, right? Obviously the bread you're not going to claim from, as Rashi clarifies, holo azik, right? The bread didn't do any damage, right? The bread didn't wasn't the one that caused any damage. So Gemara responds, Sefer itzderich lei. The Gemara says that really it's teaching for the Rava's point is yes, that's the obvious part of what he's saying, but he continues, and that's the part which is why he's made this statement, i.e., Sefer Yetzirah le nizak ochel bosor umiskaper mevi lechem. What he continues to say is basically you can claim from the entirety of the carbon, and basically that means that you as the damaged party end up eating that carbon, but the miskaper, the person who is the original owner, right? The original owner, the one who's bringing the carbon, they end up eating the bread. So Hanami Pshita. So the Gemara says that should also be. I'll explain what that means in just a moment. If anyone didn't follow, Hanami Pshita, that should also be obvious. Mahu de Tema. What might one have said? Kiven de Lechem Hechshera de Zevachu. Since the bread is, in a sense, the sort of, you know, it's almost the preparatory stage, like a key part of the actual carbon of the entire sacrifice on it, together, the entire unit. It should come as a unit. Le mole at ochalt basar va'ana aisi lechem. Right? Can you really say that I'll eat the basar and you eat the bread? Kamash malon. Yes, that's exactly what you do. Let the lechem chiyuva debaylem, who that the bread itself is the response is for the owner, the original owner to eat. So here's the follow. So the scenario is that I'm on my way to Jerusalem. I have this feast prepared, right? I've survived a big ordeal, right? I've gone through something. I want to give thanks. So what I do is I bring a carbon toda, right? Carbon toda is basically an excuse for a party. Effectively, what it means is that you're supposed to, the idea of a carbon toda is you actually have to bring an enormous amount of food, 40 loaves of bread. And you have to have a very short time in which to eat them, right? So how do you do that? It means you have to feed other people. And when you feed other people, so what do? So you talk about the miracles that happened to you, right? You talk about the fact that you are so thankful to the Almighty for X, Y, and Z, right? That's what a carbon toda is, and that's what the goal of it is. So it has, not as I said, in addition to the meat element, it has this large quantity of bread, and therefore that's what's And therefore, you're going to end up having to invite lots of people to share it with you, because otherwise you're not going to be able to consume it. But over here, what happened was, on the way, the animal that you designated as the carbon toad actually did damage. So the nizak comes along and says, thank you very much, you know, I'm going to have that now. That's now my cow, right? And he's going to go off and eat the bread. Oh, sorry, he's going to go off and eat the meat. So what the Gemara is saying basically is that, let's say the chatzi nezek, that's not quite the chatzi nezek, right? Maybe you should add on the bread as part of it. So the Gemara says no. And then the Gemara sort of seems to suggest even further that in a sense they should go together, because it's part of a unit, right? Because it's part of a unit that they should go together. And maybe you should have said that, in a sense, the one who's eating the one who's eating the meat, should be eating the bread as well, because they're so significantly linked. Kamash Malon, therefore the conclusion, what the Gemara is saying is basically that's the chiddush that Rava is teaching us, that you can separate them, right? They do get separated out. Therefore, the nizak gets to eat the actual meat, gets to eat from the animal. That's how he's paid back for the damages that were caused to him. But the mazik, still the original owner and the person whose animal damaged, and the one who was bringing the carbon toda initially, still gets to eat the bread, and therefore that's not included in it. Okay. That's the end of that piece of Gemara. I want to we'll just run through the next line, because I don't think.
Does that mean that the Torah offering doesn't have to be the basar? Has he actually fulfilled then his pledge?
He's still the one who brings it. He's still the one who. So what it also shows you is a very interesting thing, is that actually, even though the other one is eating it, yeah, right, that in a sense you're the one who, got to accompany the one who is bringing it, the mazik in this case, the one who's caused the damage. Correct. And they would do, I think, a smicha. I think it would still have a smicha element to it, right? That you would still, you know, like you, there were sort of prayers is a strong, basically, you sort of there's the more spiritual element, right, to all of this, so right? Carbonus are supposed to be.
Couldn't take the meat and eat it outside of.
Correct. It has to still be, yeah. Still follows all the same rules. Okay, so the All right, let's do the next piece of the Gemara quickly, just because it's a short piece, and it's a very interesting piece of Gemara, it raises interesting questions, but I think again they are really for later on. The main Gemara that discusses this is on Lamed something or other. I tried to look it up, but so I think we'll leave it for when we talk about it there, because all the commentaries go to town on this. Later on, Nechazim Shehein Shel B'nei Bris. Right, our Mishnah had said this is only applying to property that belongs to. Right, what does B'nei Bris mean? Right, people of the covenant sounds like talking about Jews only. Right, Lemiyote Mai. What is that excluding? Le'i Lemiyote Ovid Kechovim. If we're talking about to exclude non-Jews, right, more general term. Even though obviously they're not necessarily star worshippers, or very unlikely to be star worshippers nowadays, but that's the term that we use, or the Gemara uses. Ha katani la lekaman. We teach that later on. That's a Mishnah later on, which says that much more clearly. Shor shel Yisrael shenogach shor shel ovid kechovim potur. Right. If you have a Jewish ox which gores another one, you are exempt, right? Tana v'hodem refresh. The Gemara says, yes, that is exactly what it's referring to. Basically, it says it over here in more subtle language, and over there it says it more clearly. And as I said, so the Gemara I see here is now in Lamed Zayin, okay, 37. So we'll discuss there why that is, right? Seems like a strange exception. And the Gemara over there talks about, theft and things like that. And does that, what exactly does that mean? You know, we're just saying that that actually you should be paying back, but you're just sort of getting off scot free because they're not Jewish. So as I said, it's an easier. Yes.
Don't we learn that if we do something that's likely to cause a comeback to the Jewish people?
In practical terms, this meaning if nowadays you have an animal which causes damage, you will end up paying back, and based will do that. But as I said, the Gemara discusses that. Why that is and how
this
exactly
is always
that
a problematic.
So there's another Gemara, a bit following on from that, very interesting Gemara, which again hopefully we'll get to, where it talks about the Romans being taught or convincing the rabbis to teach them Torah, and they basically say, the Romans end up saying, we agree with everything, all of it makes sense, we like all of it except for this line, right? This is the one we're not convinced by. But as I said, those are Gemaras which will hopefully come across later. All good questions, which many of them are Farshim ask. I think there's a Meiri later on which talk about things, Tosos which talk about it, but yes, we'll come back to them. Okay, we'll pick up with the next one next time. Okay, Nechosim Shehin. No, Nechosim Hamiyuchodim. Okay, what exactly that means, we'll start with next time.